Holy Gospel is found in John's Gospel, chapter 10. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Amen, amen, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he walks ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration in speaking to the people, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I tell you, I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What would we do without doors? Well, we'd be stuck. We couldn't go anywhere. But doors are really, really important, aren't they? I mean, doors provide privacy. Doors provide protection. Doors can even provide possibility. I mean, you think about the door you went through, you walked through for a first day on a new job. Or the door you walked through into the classroom for your first day of school. Or maybe the door that you walked through into maybe a gym or an arena of some kind for a graduation. Or maybe the church entryway that you walk through on the day of your wedding. Or maybe it's the sliding doors of the hospital room when a baby is on the way. Doors can even provide possibility. Doors matter so much everywhere in our lives. I mean, sometimes the same door can actually have two different meanings. You know, the door on a prison, the front gate at a prison can be an exit that means freedom, or it can mean an entrance that means confinement. A front gateway on a fortress or the main gate at a military installation can mean protection for those inside. A fire exit can mean safety from the danger within. Doors are everywhere, from grand archways and elevated expanses to the smallest, most odd-shaped closet door you have in your house and everywhere in between. Yet as important as doors are in our lives, and they really are, they're also one of the most common things that we see every single day. Naturally, we take them for granted. We expect there to be a door somewhere, some way, somehow. For example, did you notice the doorways you passed through on your way here this morning? Now, I don't want you to look around and count how many doors there are, but perhaps, you know, after worship, when you're not listening to the sermon, it might be a good time to go, "Wow, there's a whole lot of doors in here, or doorways that I passed through to get here." We take doors for granted until we need them to be open, like when you get to, like the store is about to close or the post office is about to close and you have to either get something or send something out at the last minute, or doors are taken for granted until we need them to be closed when there's bad weather outside or danger lurks. Doors were important back in Jesus' day too. They've been important for human beings ever since they've started building buildings. They were important in Jesus' day in homes, in businesses, and even for flocks of sheep. You see, depending on the size of the flock and the size of the sheep pen, sheep might have a door in the sheep pen, or the shepherd might have to be the door. You heard that right. The shepherd had to be the door. If there was no gate, if there was no gatekeeper, the shepherd had to position himself in the place where the door should be. And while his sheep safely grazed in the sheep pen, and they played and they slept in that sheepfold, the shepherd stood guard. He stood guard watching for those thieves who might try to steal his sheep, or he stood guard watching for predators that might threaten the very life of his flock. Nothing dangerous would get in unless the shepherd himself were removed by injury or death, and no sheep would get out of that sheepfold without his permission. So it's interesting. Jesus would use this kind of language, this shepherding language. When he describes himself in John chapter 10, he says, "Amen, amen, I tell you, I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come out. He will come in and go out and find pasture." Jesus describes himself as the door for the sheep. That means he is the source of protection and life for all who follow him. Through him, one finds life. But no danger, whether physical or spiritual, can overcome him. Now, these are truths that we hear regularly from God's word. Week in and week out, we hear them in Bible study, in Sunday school, in worship. In fact, the picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is one of the most ancient and most familiar pictures of Jesus in all of Christianity. You can go back even to like the catacombs, to the early places where Christians had their churches, and you find inscribed on walls an image of the shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulders. It's a reason why this fourth Sunday of Easter, with its readings from John 10 and its hymns based on Psalm 23 and those other pastoral hymns that we're singing today, that's why this weekend is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Yet in this portion of John 10, Jesus describes himself in a little different way than just as the shepherd. He is the door for the sheep. And if Jesus is a door, then that makes you wonder, have I taken Jesus for granted? And there are times when his protecting care and his rich blessing can seem as ordinary as the doorways through which we enter and exit every day. He grants grace and mercy day after day throughout this life, even in the toughest of times. But what would we do without him? Well, consider what would happen to sheep if they had no shepherd. Now, Matthew tells us of a time when Jesus looked out at a crowd of people and he saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's what sheep without a shepherd are like. They have no protection from dangerous weather or from thieves or from predators, wolves that threaten their lives. Sheep have no defense mechanisms whatsoever. You heard about that in the children's message. They're constantly in danger of losing their life all the time, and they can't do anything about it. All they can do is move forward, eating the next tuft of grass after the next tuft of grass, unaware of the dangers around them. With no shepherd, the sheep would be in great danger. We would be like sheep, harassed and helpless without Jesus. By nature, you and I seem to be completely unaware of the dangers around us. In Jesus' day, he spoke against the Pharisees as thieves and robbers who took advantage of God's people, who fleeced God's flock for their own gain while putting the people under a tremendous burden of somehow having to save themselves before God. On our own day, it isn't just those who fail to teach God's word and his truth and purity, but those who actively seek to destroy your soul. Why not click on that adult site? Or linger on that image, or watch that R-rated movie? Why not focus on yourself and get what you want when you want it? Why not buy into the culture's philosophy that if it feels good, do it? Why not buy into the false idea that we're all worshiping the same God anyway, so why be so exclusive? Yet the Lord warns, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Behind every one of those temptations, behind every one of those attacks, you will find Satan trying to lure you to eternal death. And sadly, your sinful nature and mine, they just kind of blindly comply, proving that we are really nothing more than ignorant sheep. Yet even in those times, we realize how dangerous the thieves and robbers of this world really are. How do we know where to go? Or on our own, we can't find our way back to Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't even decide what to do. But that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the shepherd to be our door. Now, earlier in John 10, Jesus explained it this way. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of his sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he walks ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And the verse right after our text, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, Jesus is that good shepherd that we all so desperately need. He knows each of us by name. He leads us where we need to go. He cares for our every need, and yet most importantly, he even gives his life for foolish, wandering sheep like us. Unlike any other shepherd ever, Jesus allowed his blood to be shed for the foolish, for the helpless, for the defenseless, for us. Even when we blindly court danger for our souls and stray far from him. That's why we need the good shepherd to be our door. He is our door. As our door, he blesses us in two unique and beautiful ways. First, he tells us, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is the only way for us to be saved. Jesus is the only way for us to be saved from all who would destroy us. There's no other way. There's no back door. There's no alternate door. There's no trap door. There's no other way. Jesus is the only one who opens the way for us to be saved and kept safe. His protecting care is always there. I mean, recall the words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We are sheep. On our own, we're harassed and helpless, but we have nothing to fear because the good shepherd is our protecting door. But Jesus also tells us something else. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, what does that mean to have life abundantly? You think of the word abundant, you think full. It's overflowing. It's super great. I mean, does it mean that your life is full of activity or that your life is full of stuff or that your life is full of checking off boxes on your to-do list or checking off items on your bucket list? Well, all those things, they fill a life, but they don't make a life abundant. You see, apart from Jesus, there is no forgiveness, no safety, no peace, no comfort, no contentment, no rest. Yet with Jesus, you find forgiveness for your sin-corrupted heart. You find peace for your troubled soul when the dark and dangerous difficulties of this life threaten to overwhelm you. You find safety, confidence, and contentment at moments when the thief would be quick to abandon or destroy you. Through Jesus, the door, you find comfort from the fear of death or the grief that death has caused because he opens the way to your own empty tomb. Above all, you find rest for your soul. As the good shepherd takes your worries, your fears, your stress on his own shoulders and gives you rest. The abundant life promised by the good shepherd, proved with blood, sealed with an empty tomb, is a life with this assurance from Jesus. I am your defense. I am your redeemer. I am your resurrection. I am your life. I am your peace. I am your rest. Jesus gives you that life, free from guilt, free from the fears and worries of life every single day. By faith in the sure and certain promises of God's word and given to you through word and water and meal, you have real life and you have it abundantly. No one else can give you life like that. In the midst of guilt, you have grace in abundance through Christ. In the midst of sorrow or grief, you have joy in abundance. In the midst of strife or fear, you have peace in abundance. That doesn't mean that your life is filled with cheesy smiles and skin shallow abundance and happiness. But in Christ, you have a life that is filled with his grace. Christ is the door through which you have that abundant life. Beloved sheep of the Good Shepherd, I hope that you won't look at doors the same way after this sermon. I pray that when you see a doorway, an entrance or an exit, that you'll give thanks for the Good Shepherd who is your door. the one who provides you with protecting care, the one who provides you with undeserved love, the one who someday will provide for you an open door from this life into an eternally abundant life. And we can be sure of that, friends, because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.